leave those there. Give our kids a round of applause. Thank you for building your dream homes. Yeah. So it just reminds us, as humans, sort of the hardest part about Revelation 21 is the homes we build aren't that different from these Legos. Like, we use bricks and stuff, but if you've ever lived in a home long enough, what happens? It falls apart. It breaks down. You need a new one. And Jesus is going to great lengths to show us He wants to live with us forever. He wants to be with His people. But, kids, some more real estate advice for you. It's not just about what you want in your forever home. It's also about what is missing. What you don't want in your forever home. You may say, oh, this is my forever home. It's got the Batmobile logo on it. But if just next door is like some manure farm or some clown factory, you're going to say, I don't want to live there. It's got things I don't want. And so that's our final part, Revelation 22 through 27. I want you to listen for what is missing, kids, from Jesus' forever home. So put your fingers on your ear. Let me know you're listening. What is missing in this forever home? There's several things. 22 through 27. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Kids, what's missing from Jesus' forever home? A few things. John's people reading it in the first century would notice a few things. We actually did a whole sermon on this passage way back in the beginning of Revelation. So grown-ups, if you want to go through the list, go listen to that. But I want to cover something today that I didn't cover back then. And it's this. John, the apostle, is not the first one to get a vision of a Jerusalem, to see a heavenly city. And so John's readers would very much compare and think about what's different from those prior visions. We get those visions from prophets like Ezekiel or prophets like Zechariah. And here's what they would notice. Listen to what those old tours of heavenly Jerusalems all had. Ezekiel 40, verse 5. And I think we've got that on the screen. Wonderful. It says, "And behold, there was a wall around the outside of the temple area, and the length of the measuring reed in the man's hand was 6 long cubits, each being a cubit and a handbreadth in length. So he measured the thickness of the wall, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed." Kids, I know it's a little hard to understand cubits and reeds and all that stuff, but here's the point. Every prior prophet, every prior vision of a new home for God's people to be with God, all had a temple. Even in the book of Revelation, it talks before about the sanctuary and the temple. And why did they need those temples? It's because they wanted to worship God, but they still had sin. They still had shame. So John's people would be amazed that Jesus' forever home doesn't have a temple. How can a city not have a temple, a big building to worship God in? Every big city in their day did. It was like a sports stadium in our day. But then they would realize something even better is happening here. What's missing is actually not important anymore. Why? Why is it not sad that they don't have a temple? They will see God's face. They will worship Him face to face. And what is missing is all their uncleanliness, all their sin. See, the temple wasn't primarily there to worship God. The temple was there to keep the people safe. Because if you go to try to worship a holy God with your sin in the Bible, you explode. Bad things happen. Your sin is the problem. But the center of Jesus' forever home isn't a temple. It's something new. as something life-giving. Something flows from the center of the city. But we'll have to come back next week to go to the very middle of the city. But for now, what is John's lesson? The city is Jesus' forever home. This message would be a comfort for John's people. It'd be a comfort for John himself. Remember, John, like earlier in the Bible, in the Gospels, saw Jesus face to face, talked with him, walked with him. And now John is old and he's alone on an island. No friends, nobody to help him out. And he might wonder, did Jesus forget about me? Did he go away and I'm just on my own? Revelation is reminding John and all his churches that Jesus isn't gone forever. He is getting this city ready. This is what he is working on. How does Jesus say it in John chapter 14, 2 and 3? He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You kids sang the song, come and go with me to what? My Father's house. Jesus wants us to go there. So Jesus has not abandoned his churches. He hasn't abandoned us. He is bringing this city to us. He is bringing us to his forever home. The city is Jesus' forever home. Now let's apply this in brief today. First, to our kids. Kids, what do you got to know today? You don't have to leave home. Some of my parents are teenagers. They're like, what are you talking about? Here's what we mean. Kids, young people, what I mean is you've grown up in this church, and we've taught you some things. What have we taught you? We've taught you the facts of the gospel. Any of you kids remember our facts of the gospel? Jesus died for our sins. He's buried for 3 days, but God raised him from the dead. We've taught you that Jesus loves you. We've taught you about repentance. We've taught you about faith. Maybe you've learned some Bible verses at JAM. But here's what can happen as you get older kids. You might say, I've heard what the church has taught me, but maybe I should go try to believe something else. I should go try to follow something else. Jesus told a parable about this in Luke 15. Listen to verses 12 and 13 and listen for what kid leaves home and how it goes from. Luke 15, 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the young son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. What did the young man do in the parable? Kids, he ran away from home. And you might be tempted as you get older to do the same thing, to say, I need to go my own way. I need to find my own belief. The world wants to convince you kids, growing up with what your parents taught you to believe is foolish. It's silly. You might grow up and someone tells you, if you believe the same thing as your parents, then you're dumb. You're a loser. You're going to go off to school and they're going to say, you believe what you grew up with? That's foolish. No, kids, I want to encourage you. Believing in the Jesus that your parents teach you about isn't foolish. It's wise. It is life-giving. How did our guy do in the story? Did it make his life better to leave home, to go figure out things for himself? No. Listen to how the young man ends up in the parable, verses 14 and 15. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the field to feed pigs. Did it make the young man's life better to leave home? And kids, I promise you, there are grown-ups in this room. If you asked them, hey, you left the faith, you stopped following Jesus, did it make your life better? All of those grown-ups will tell you, no, it did not. So if you're beginning to wonder, should I leave the faith? Should I try not believing in Jesus? Remember, you don't have to leave home. You can avoid so much heartache and pain in your life by sticking with Jesus. Kids, you don't have to leave home. I pray that you will stick with Jesus all your life, that your childhood faith would continue to grow and grow and grow. Now, let's apply our lesson to more grown-up Christians. My grown-up Christians in the room, here's your application. This isn't your home. This isn't your home. You've often heard me say, Yoakum is not your home, or Shiner's not your home, or Hallettsville, whatever you want. It's not your home. Because if you're a Christian, where is your home? You already know the answer. It's with Jesus. Home is where Jesus is. How does Jesus say it in Luke 14, 25? He says, Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Christian, you know this, but home is more than a building. It's not just walls. It's the people. It's the experiences. It's the comfort. And that's Jesus' point. If you're going to follow him, you cannot make yourself at home here. You have to remember, this city, Revelation 21, is your home. See, his word hate that he used, it doesn't mean be mad at your mom and dad. He's not saying go yell at your mom and dad, kids. The word means to esteem less, to value less. Then what? Well, think of it this way. If it comes to following Jesus or following your mom, who are you supposed to choose? Jesus. If it comes to following your brother or sister, that older brother or sister you think is so cool, or Jesus, who do you follow? Jesus. And this gets into the fine details of our life. It makes us uncomfortable. In every nook and cranny of our life, we're supposed to make Jesus the top. He's always supposed to be our home. But instead of listening to Jesus, how many of us, even today, as soon as you get home from church, you're going to take your Christian hat off and put your world hat on? You'll say, I'm finally home. I never cuss or drink, but when I come home to my parents, I just let loose. I never talk vulgar or act macho, but when I'm with the boys, I just relax. I feel like I'm home. How many of us, our home life, our family life, is an excuse for a disobedient life? Here's the most common one. Here's the top one. Preacher, sorry, I keep skipping church. I just want to spend time with family. Sunday is for family. It's time to be home with family. Think about what you're saying. Is that address where you eat your dinner your home? According to Jesus, it's not. Is your family your home, or is Jesus your home? The Bible has a clear answer. Christian, this isn't your home. This life, those people that you live with, those people you love, they aren't your home. This world isn't your home. Now, non-Christian, a comfort for you. Non-Christian, you can come home. I want to talk to a specific kind of non-Christian today. Maybe you grew up with some idea about Jesus, but you know, you've just walked away. You've run as fast as you can in the other direction. You've made every excuse for running from Jesus. Well, my parents taught me about Jesus, and I hate them. That preacher taught me about Jesus, and I hate them. Those Christians taught me about Jesus, and they're jerks. You just make all the excuses up for running from Jesus. You've chased after your sin, and it has ruined your life. You feel like you're too far gone. I can never come back home. And what's the application for you? No matter what, you can come home. You can come home to Jesus today. Mama may not take you back, but Jesus will. Listen to the end of the story about the boy that ran away from home in Luke 15. Listen to what the father does. "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." And listen to this. "But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." You feel like you can never come back to God. "Jesus will never take me back." I promise you, you can come home. What does the father do in the story? He runs back to welcome the boy. He celebrates him. He embraces him. So I promise you, no matter how far you've run away from Jesus, you can come home. Jesus forever home. Revelation 21 here, it can be your home too. You might live in an apartment. You might live in a house. You might live with your parents. But this can be your home. You can live with Jesus forever. But it begins by repenting of your sins. Jesus, I'm the one who ran away from you. I'm the one who disobeyed you. I'm the one who tried to do it myself. And you put your faith in Jesus. Jesus, I trust you to bring me home. Jesus, I trust you to forgive me, to save me. So I ask non-Christian, do you need to come home today? Do you need to stop running from Jesus? I promise you can come home. Why? For John, the city is Jesus forever home. That's our word from God today. Now it's time for us to respond to God's word. You ready, Gabriel? And the way this works in our church is, and you'll see them in your worship guide, we ask four basic questions. From what we've heard today, what do I need to believe? Maybe you need to believe, oh wow, I can come back to Jesus. I don't have to keep running. Maybe you realize you need to repent. You know, you've made this world your home. You've made your family your home. And then, of course, we talk about two other questions. Do I need to be baptized? If you need to be baptized and publicly display your faith before this congregation, I'd love to talk to you about that. And then fourth, for all of us, we ask, how can I follow? Maybe today, hearing this message about home, you realize, I need to go to that person who's been running and invite them back. Maybe you've got someone right now in your mind who say that they've run from Jesus so hard, and maybe you even push them away. You need to go and say, hey, you can come back home to Jesus. So this is your time to respond. I'll be up here if you want to pray, but answer for yourself where you are. What do I need to believe? Do I need to repent? Do I need to be baptized? And how can I follow? With every eye closed and every head bowed, Gabriel will give you a few minutes and then I'll close us in prayer. This is your time to respond to God's word. Pray with me, church. Jesus, you said it yourself. You're going to prepare a place. And I thank you for this vision that you gave to John. We get to see what your forever home is like. And I pray as we go out of here, first, that the Christians, the brothers and sisters here would look at their houses, They look at their daily life and say, this isn't my home. I want to go to that place. I want to live there with Jesus. We also pray, Jesus, that you would send us out in the power of your Spirit to invite people to come home, to leave their sins behind, to leave this world behind, to go to people that feel like they can never come back, that we would invite them back to Jesus.